Glad we serve the God we serve, aren't you? That he is everything he's ever declared himself to be. He is powerful. He is awesome. His presence is overwhelming at times. And come over where all the people are. Praise you, Lord. Well, we're just going to continue on talking about Jesus' ministry. And how we ministered and what we can pick up from it. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you and praise you. Thank you for your precious Holy Spirit who does lead and guide and direct us into truth and into righteousness. That you direct our steps, you order them, Lord. And we thank you for it. And we thank you for your precious word. Open our eyes and understanding to it. Help us to see through Jesus' ministry what that means for us and how we're to appropriate that, how we're to incorporate it into our life and be a blessing to others as well. Be glorified in this time in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, we're going to look in the book of Matthew, starting in chapter 12. And there's just a short little story here about Jesus when he's ministering to a man with a paralyzed hand or withered hand. Can you hear okay? Is this okay? Okay. And so it's chapter 12, and we're going to start in verse 9. And it says, "Moving from there, he entered their synagogue. And there he saw a man who had a paralyzed hand or withered hand." So it's kind of frozen place there, right? And verse 10, "There he saw a man with a paralyzed hand, and in order to accuse him, they asked him, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?'" So these are the religious leaders trying to trap Jesus. Their whole point wasn't care or compassion or anything at all towards the man that had the withered hand, that had the paralyzed hand. They didn't care that he had been suffering. They didn't care at all. They wanted to trap Jesus with religious laws. And so they wanted to accuse him. Their whole motivation was entrapment of Jesus. They didn't care about his pain. They didn't care about his suffering or loss. And I hate to say it, but there's some that are in that realm today. They're caught in the religious. And they're just out to accuse, and they're out to entrap, and they're out to... It's just so sad to me to see people attacking the body of Christ and just set out there to trip you up. Now, if they're doing this to Jesus, do you think there might be a chance it could be done to you? We're not above the master, are we? No. So if people are going to try to trip Jesus up, they're going to try to entrap him, accuse him of doing wrong when his heart is filled with compassion and he's following the will of the Father. People are going to do the same for you. So don't let it throw you. Don't let it surprise you. We're to follow what the Father leads us into, how the Holy Spirit directs our lives, the words. We'll know what to say. We'll know what to do. Sometimes you have to push past your own emotions and your own flesh in order to deliver those words. Amen? And sometimes you have to gird yourself up from the inside when you feel as though people are against you. And sometimes they are against you. Amen? It's just the way it is. We live in a fallen world, so that's where we're at. So, in order to accuse him, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" But he said to them, "What man among you, if he had a sheep that fell into a pit on the Sabbath, wouldn't you take hold of it and lift it out?" And it's a sheep, right? Anybody here? You're going to let a sheep just fall in a pit and sit there and suffer? We're all going to move forward to help that. Why? Because it would be suffering in there. It would be hurt. It would have problems. So if that is an attitude towards a sheep, he then asks this question, or says this statement, a man is worth far more than a sheep. So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. It is lawful. Amen. The law, well, let me just finish reading, 13 here. Then he told the man, stretch out your hand. He told him to do something he couldn't do. You know, sometimes we think stretch out your hand, and we're going like this. That's your arm, isn't it? What couldn't he do? What was paralyzed? His hand. And what was he asked to do? What he couldn't do. And sometimes God is going to speak to us and tell us to do something that we can't do. And there's an amount of faith that's involved in that. Amen? You're going to have to push into what it is that God has spoke to you about. He wasn't just stretching out his arm. The hand was paralyzed. He had to begin to stretch that out. He had to act in faith. He had to move in faith with that deal. Amen. You know, when I saw the most healings that I've ever seen in my ministry was when I was in Africa and we had a healing line, and it was right on the heels of Annie Durant. Love that lady. And she made everyone do something. Move your leg. Move your arm. Bend over. What couldn't you do? Do it. And I took that with me. Because I had seen in the past when I asked people to do something and they responded that they saw results right away. Why? Because they're acting on their faith. Amen? A lot of times, what happens is people will sit and they'll wait until the hand's stretched out. It's not going to stretch out. Not when he says, stretch out your hand. You do something with what I told you to do, right? So he had to begin to move on that. Who knows if it came just in little increments or if the second he did, it went boom, popped wide open. I don't know. It doesn't say. But he stretched it forth. However it took it, he stretched it forth. And that's exactly what we have to do. If you feel the prompting of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you to do something, when you're talking to God about your situation, when you're getting direction, I know Caitlin is, you know, opened up to read the Bible when she couldn't see. Amen. She's pushed herself in different areas. I'm sure there's others of us that have had to do that. Amen. It's a step of faith, right? So if you have a prompting on the inside, do it. Remember Mary with the water turning to wine? Whatever he says to do, do it. Whatever it is, right? I mean, the simple thing was just pour water into these vessels. Right? But that's miracle territory. If he's speaking to you, whatever he says, do it. And we do it. We respond to it. We react. We follow through. Give place to what the Spirit of God is saying. You're going to see results. Amen. Amen. God honors obedience. But what happens on the heel to this? He told the man, stretch out your hand. So he stretched it out, And it was restored as good as the other. Hallelujah. It's awesome news, isn't it? But the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. Isn't that lovely? Right in the midst of a miracle, right in the midst of seeing a man with a paralyzed hand stretch it out and have it restored, they're not rejoicing in the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the compassion of God. They're not rejoicing in the power of God. They're plotting to destroy him. Sounds like the same devil that's been around for centuries, doesn't it? So if people aren't jumping up and down and rejoicing with your victories, don't be surprised. There will be those that do, but there may be some that fight you on it. Don't be surprised. Rejoice anyways. Amen. Have your own Holy Ghost party. Amen. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen. And that's when we're all alone, all by our lonesome. I don't care if it's in the shower, in the bathroom. I don't care if it's in your car. Just rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Amen. Thank God for what he's already done. He's already paid the price. He's already given his all. He's already stripped himself of deity and came as a man, laid it all out for us so that we could get in on the deal. We could walk with him. We could walk in wholeness. Amen. That's his heart for you. Amen. It's not for any of us to be limping along and hurting. It's for us to be on top of these things. Amen. Partaking of the goodness of God and taking it with us in confidence that he hears and he answers our prayers. Amen. That the provision has been made for us. I just want to look back at verse, let's see, where is it? Oh, let's just keep going. So they plotted against him how they might destroy him. And when Jesus became aware of this, he withdrew from there. I remember a church in the 70s where God kept trying to say, hey, I'm God. It was a good church, loved God, very evangelical, reached into the community. A couple times, Holy Ghost tried to get in there and say, hey, I'm all powerful, and I want you to know me. And every time, the door got shut. They didn't want anything to do with that. Well, what happens when you shut yourself out from God? He withdrew himself. He's not going to beat down the door to get in. What happened here? He withdrew himself from there, and huge crowds followed him, and he healed them all. You get the picture? The Pharisees, the religious leaders, they're plotting against him that they might destroy him. He became aware of that. He withdrew himself from their presence, and he went off. And the ones that were interested followed after him. The ones that were hungry, the ones that believed on him, he healed them all. Amen? Sometimes we make the mistake, we want healing so bad for people that we're almost cornering them. We're running over there. Please, you know, let me lay hands on you. Please, let me. And we're trying to get into them because we want it for them. We know it's God's desire. We know it's His will. We want it. We see it. But if they don't want it, you can't force it on people. And what happens when you pray for somebody who doesn't want it? Do they receive something? There probably are a few occasions. I know Catherine Kuhlman meetings when the Spirit of God would just flood and permeate the place. The healing anointing would just, you'd sense it in there. People came in to ridicule and to make fun of. Newspaper reporters. God did demonstrate a time or two in there that He's God, and despite their mocking, they were healed. That's mercy, if there ever is mercy, but that's a rarity. For the most part, if you're not believing and you don't want anything to do with it, He's not going to push Himself off on you. Right? It's with the open heart. It's with a desire. Amen. We don't have to, sometimes we almost get this picture that we have to work this thing. We just have to believe what He says is true. That's what faith is. He said it, I believe it, that settles it. Amen. That's the simplicity of faith. We get our faith from the Word. Testimonies encourage us, but faith for healing and faith for all the promises of God are built on this Word. That's where our faith comes from. Faith comes from hearing and hearing the Word of God. So that's the building blocks our faith are built on, His Word. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Now, if we jump down to verse 22, we see another instance of healing here. It says, then a demon-possessed man who was blind and unable to speak was brought to Him, and He healed him. Blind and unable to speak, and this we know was because he was demon-possessed. Does that mean all people that are blind or unable to speak are demon-possessed? No. But in this case, it was, okay? And it says, he healed him so that the man could both speak and see. And the crowds were astounded and said, perhaps this is the Son of David. Golly. Amen. I think healing is the biggest calling card we have to the world to say, look at Jesus. Amen. This is the Son of God. Amen. Amen. Anybody been healed in here before? You've seen it in your own body, in your own life? Does it make you want to shout it out to others? Tell them of how merciful and how much compassion and love God, how powerful He is. Well, if He did it before, what's to stop Him from doing it now? Anything? Yeah, you can stop. But that'd be foolish, wouldn't it? I think sometimes we are our own worst enemy. We get in our heads and we start thinking, well, I didn't do this right and I didn't do that right and I must not be believing enough. And as a seed, mustard seed. Hallelujah. Didn't say we had to have skyscraper faith. It just said mustard seed's faith. Amen? So we're going to give God place. Amen? And use what we have. And rejoice in that. So where were we? 22. perhaps this is the son of David. And when the Pharisees heard this, of course, they're driven by pride and religious spirits and all that nonsense. They heard this, they said, the man drives out demons only by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. Well, they're being driven by something, I'll tell you what. Right? You see that there? They have been consumed with a religious spirit. They are out to get Jesus. We're seeing it time and event, every place that he goes. You look at Saul's life, Paul, the same thing. Everywhere he went, there was revival and there was riot. People be healed and saved and cities turned upside down for the glory of God. People rejoicing, and within a few hours, they're out ready to stone him and chase him out of town. Why is that? Anybody ever go from just mountaintop, miracles, things happening in your life, God's God, and you're just, whoo-hoo, and then all of a sudden hell breaks loose in the track of that? What's going on? It's no different today in your life and my life than it was in Jesus or Paul's. Am I getting you excited here? Sorry. Simple fact is, we live in a fallen world, but we serve an awesome God. And we're victorious in Christ Jesus. And that's where we need to stay focused, that we've got victory in him. Amen. We don't have to succumb to everything that comes our way. It might come our way. It might feel like you're getting a battering ram, just thing after another, but you just stand your ground. When you've done all to stand, we're to do what? Why would he tell you that? There's going to be a temptation to just give in, right? Yeah, we can't afford to. If you want victory, you don't crumble when you get hit again. You just gird yourself up and say, okay, I don't care what it looks like, I'm victorious in Christ and I will see the victory in this thing. Amen? Amen. We'll see it. We'll have it. Why? Because he paid for it and delivered it unto us. Amen? So, you know, the Word of God says don't get weary in well-doing. Don't get tired. Don't give up. Don't get weary. Just don't. You ever been there? What is that? That just trying to get you to quit. Get toe-to-toe with the devil and say, no way, Jose. No way. I'm not giving in. I'm not giving up. I will see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. He promised it. He gave it. Amen. So we're going to fight the good fight of faith. Why is it a good fight? You already know the outcome. You know you're victorious in Christ Jesus. So you're fighting the good fight of faith. And the fight isn't to wear you out. The fight is to stay in the rest. In the midst of the storm, where was Jesus? Resting. Perfect peace. Sleeping. When all the waves and the wind and everything was throwing him every which way, and everyone was panicking around him, and oh, Jesus, what are you doing sleeping? Where was he? All hell breaks loose around you and the winds and the waves and the torrents are feeling like they're going to overwhelm you. You need to come to a place of rest. What do I mean by that? Peace in your heart, in your mind. It's okay. I'm going to see the end of this in victory. He's already paid for it, already bought it, already delivered it to me. Why would I see anything less? Why would I give in or give up? Amen? But that's a determined heart issue that you and I have to come to. And if you're a quitter, quit. If you're a quitter, don't allow yourself to be. Amen. We got some people in here. They maybe ran a 50-yard dash. Okay, short-distance runners. You just gird yourself up. You do all your squat. You get yourself ready, and you just boom, and you're off. 50 yards, you're over and done. Whew, great. And then you got the guys that'll do a mile or two. And then you got some other guys that is lots of miles. It's marathon time. And they have to remind themselves that there is a finish line and they're going to make it. Because their legs, their muscles are out of oxygen sometimes and they just have to push and push. Sometimes we're in that same situation. You just keep pushing. You don't lay down to the hand of the enemy. Amen? You gird yourself up. You determine in your own heart and your own mind, this is mine, and I will not be denied. I will not allow the enemy to steal from me what God has rightfully given to me. Right? Are you saved? Salvation is yours. Well, that's that wonderful, all-inclusive word, sozo. It's not just so you get to heaven. Amen. It's soundness. It's prosperity. It's wholeness. It's health. It's deliverance. Amen. It's everything all wrapped up into one. When Jesus came to save us, it was spirit, soul, and body. It was the complete package deal. And sometimes we get this mentality that we're saved and praise God, we'll get to go to heaven. But it's not to experience defeat the whole way. Yeah, there's an enemy while we're here. But there's victory in the battles. Amen? Right? In a war, there's many skirmishes. Right? There's many hills that need to be conquered and territory that needs to be taken. I mean, you watch this ISIS thing. And they'll gain some part of a city and they fight back. And they're gaining back Mosul right now. They're gaining back ground. Why? The enemy came in and took some, and now they're going back after it. Amen? If the enemy's taken anything from you, you go back after it. You stand your ground. Amen? If it's rightfully yours. If it's a promise in the Word of God, then it's rightfully yours. You stand your ground. Amen? We're going to fight. We're going to win. So the man drives out demons only by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons, knowing their thoughts, only because the Spirit of God revealed it to him. He told them, every kingdom divided against itself is headed for destruction, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? But if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, who is your son? Is it your sons drive them out by? For this reason, they will be your judges. And if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. And what are we told in Mark 16? What are we to do? Yeah. Let's just read that scripture quickly. We should all have it memorized. 16, And this is the last of what Jesus had said to them. It says, later he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who saw him after he had been resurrected. Then he said to them, yeah, that's something, isn't it? Unbelief and hardness of heart because they wouldn't believe. We want a soft heart. We need to be willing to believe what he says. If he says it in the word and it catches you, just go right back at it and read it again. Say, okay, Lord, I'm believing your word. I believe it's true. I'm receiving it as truth. Open my eyes in understanding. Just like the father, the little demoniac boy that was throwing himself in the fire and water. I believe. Help my unbelief. If we get full of pride, then we think we know it all and that we've got a handle on the whole situation. Well, I know that. I've been knowing that for years. I got that memorized. I can probably teach you a thing or two. Guess what? That stinks of pride. Amen? Humility is willing to learn. That father said, I believe, help my unbelief. We need to be willing to open our heart and say, God, if I'm not seeing it, open my eyes, open my heart, open my understanding so that I grasp hold of all of your truth. Amen? So this is what he says. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes. How many whoever's we got in here? Yeah, whole room of them? Hallelujah. So this applies to you. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. What's going to accompany them? In my name. That's the authority we go in on because he said it. We're using his name. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up snakes. And if they should drink anything deadly, it will never harm them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will get well. And after speaking to them, the Lord Jesus was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word by the accompanying signs. Hallelujah. This wasn't just for that day. This is for this day. Amen. This is for us. And the same demons are subject to you. Amen. They're subject to the name. He's given us the name. He's given us the power and the authority to use that name. And everything has to submit and bow to that name. Amen. So it's been delivered unto us. So he's saying this. If I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. Amen. Anyone, verse 30, who is not with me is against me, and anyone who does not gather with me scatters. It's a sad thing that we have the body of Christ divided on some of these things that Jesus so plainly spoke about and said you're to walk these things out. You're to carry these things out. You're to do these things. I'm leaving, and I'm leaving you with my name, and I'm giving you the authority to follow through in my name. You do it. I'm leaving. Now you do it. Amen. And yet we're wondering, God, can we really do it? He said do it. Whatever he says, do it. Boy, if we would take his word at face value and do it, we'd see this world turned upside down. Can you imagine the whole body of Christ rising up together, taking the name of Jesus, using our authority? Amen. We can make a huge difference. Amen. Banding together, encouraging one another. Amen. Testifying of his goodness. Amazing God. Amazing God. Let's see. I want to let's jump on over to chapter 14. We're still looking at Jesus' ministry. What can we learn from his ministry? Starting in verse 14. Matthew 14:14. As he stepped ashore, he saw a huge crowd, and he felt compassion for them and healed their sick. I think that's one of the earmarks of Jesus' ministry, is the compassion. And whenever you see compassion, he fed them, he helped them, he healed them. He wouldn't leave them in the same situation that they were in. And I think if we're not careful, we can harden ourselves and lose compassion and just go through the motions of things and not carry the heart of God. And the heart of God always is filled with compassion. Amen. So if we're hardened, how do you get out of that? The only thing I know is the presence of God. Just getting before him. Confessing at God. I don't think I care like you care. I want your heart. I've hardened myself. And there's many ways that we can harden ourselves. We could be hurt to not understand. People can hurt us. We can begin to withdraw. And then we get hard, and then we get mean, and then we get ugly. Hurting people hurt people. You just get calloused. You start withdrawing. You're withdrawing. What do you got to give somebody? Right? You're closing it all in so you can't get hurt anymore. And you got nothing left to give. And you're getting calloused on the outside. And we need to be careful. Sometimes we don't even see it coming. We just do it, protecting ourselves, like the turtle. It's all hard on the outside. Everything soft is all tucked in, and nobody's going to get to it. Only you end up staying hard. So if you're gotten hard, if your exterior is just, if you've withdrawn, how do I know? I've done it. And probably most of us have at some point or another in our life when we've been hurt. And we need to soften up. We see we don't have the heart of God. It's time to get on our face before God and begin to call out and say, God, your heart. I don't have your heart for people. You might as well get real with him. Get real with yourself. Amen? Because he can soften us. He can change us like that. You can't go in the presence of God and come out unchanged. He softens you every time. And sometimes you think, oh, I've blown it again. Does God's mercy extend that far? Absolutely. 70 times 7 in a day is what he told his disciples. Have you hit 70 times 7 in one day? Probably not. His mercy endures forever. His mercy is new every morning. He never gives up on you. He never gives up on me. And, you know, we have to get that. We have to know that, because otherwise we'll feel like we're undeserving. Undeserving to receive anything from him. And that's when the blessings of God are cut off. Why? Because that's unbelief. You might believe, yeah, God can heal and God can provide and God can do this and God's all powerful. But if you feel you don't deserve it, what are you believing? You're not believing. You're not believing that his hand's going to stretch into your life. And you're cutting off the goodness of God into your life. So we got to deal with, these are some of those solical things. Beloved, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Those things will cut it off. I remember when I was young, I was so on fire for God. And then I backslid. And I messed up my life big time, huge. And I wanted so much to be right with God. My heart was crying out for it. But I didn't know if I could. I didn't know if he'd take me back. I didn't know the extent of the mercy of God, his love for me. I just didn't get it. And I thought I blew it again. And that was it. Even though I wanted to be right with God, I didn't know if I could be right with God because I didn't know him well enough. But all I did was go towards him. Draw near to God, and he does what? He's reciprocal. He doesn't stand off. He draws near. Aren't you glad? I don't know about you, but when you've walked away or, you know, from... I was at a better place with God. I was so full of his spirit. I was so aware of his presence. And now I'm in neutral. Yeah. So you want to be right? Yeah. Then what do? First off, quit kicking yourself in the hind end. Right? That's the worst thing we can do, is just keep kicking ourselves around, beating ourselves up, and just say, God, I'm sorry. 1 John 1:9. It's there for a reason. And it's not written to the lost, it's written to the saints. Right? Amen. So we just confess our sin. He is faithful, and he is just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every last bit of it. Yeah. Oh, I'm so grateful. So grateful. You don't know my past, but I do. Hallelujah. And I am so thankful that he didn't have me sitting there in the muck and the mire, but he pulled me up and he set me on the rock. Amen. Hosed me down, washed all that mud off, declared I was clean, declares I'm holy. How about you? You holy? First time I heard I'm a saint, I thought, nah, really? And then they said, look in the mirror and declare you're a holy saint of God. It took me about a week to obey that. Because I didn't see a holy saint when I looked in that mirror. The word declared it, but I didn't see it. Why? Because I was looking through the wrong glasses. I was looking through eyes of guilt and shame. But the word of God says, therefore there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So if I'm in Christ Jesus and I'm looking and I've got guilt and shame and condemnation, I'm looking through the wrong lens. I'm looking through the devil's. Why is this important? I thought we were talking about healing. We are. We are. For you to receive all the benefits of God, you need to see that you are worthy to receive them. That you are holy. You are righteous. Not because you're so good. We're not into works. I believe you need to be in the Word and praying and worshiping and all those good things, but you're not going to work your way into the things of God. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? It is important to worship God. It is important to get the Word of God in your heart. It is important for the gathering of the assembly together. Why? Because that's how we grow. That's how we get to know God. Amen. He reveals himself through the Word. He reveals to us who we are through the Word. Amen. There's nothing that breaks through barriers like the presence of God. Chisels away stuff in our heart like God can in his presence. It's important. But I'm not going to get the blessing of God because I'm in the Word so many hours a day, or I've prayed so many hours this week, or I haven't, so therefore I can't qualify to get anything from God because I haven't been faithful to be in the Word every day like I should. Well, if we're there because we should, we're there for the wrong reason. We shouldn't be going to the Word because we got to be, but because we love him and we want to know him. Otherwise, we're getting right over into that same religious spirit that the Pharisees are in. And we don't want that. You saw how their hearts hardened. That's where you come into a church and some sinner comes in and you can just see the sin just rolling off of them. And they get healed and filled and gloriously God's working, and you think, I've been going to church every day for I haven't missed a Sunday in 3 years. I'm faithful. I give my tithes. I pray. I do this. I serve. And they walk in. Ugh. Guess what that is? It's a religious spirit. It's trying to consume you. We don't need to give place to that. We start getting over into works, we're in trouble. Amen. So you see yourself, just slap yourself upside the head and call it quits. Amen? We go to church because we want to know God and we want to fellowship in the body. We get in the Word because it reveals who our Heavenly Father is, who our Savior is. It helps us to become familiar with the working and the moving of the Holy Ghost. Amen? We become hungry. We want those things. But not because we have to, not because we should. It's wrong motivation. Look at yourself and begin to love who you are. Because God does. And he saw you worthy to give his very best and his very all. And if nobody else in this entire room received him but you, he would have given himself holy for you. He thinks you're worth it. Amen. What's amazing is I'm teaching this stuff. Because I couldn't even for years, couldn't comfortably look in a mirror. I hated myself that much. I hate what I saw. And now it's not because of anything other than the blood of Jesus has set me free. Amen. So I deserve all the benefits of God, not because I'm something special, but because he is. He's deemed me worthy. He's deemed you worthy. What an awesome God we serve. He is so good. So yeah, all of this, see, it all works together. Everything works together. Our faith grows in so many different aspects, in understanding holiness and righteousness and forgiveness and mercy, and it all works together. Because if you cannot look at yourself and say, I deserve what my God's bought and paid for. That's not pride. That's truth. Pride is coming in because what? I've done something? I've got the New Testament memorized? I've given so much money? I've worshiped so many hours? Because I've gone to Africa? None of it counts to get me in on anything. Amen? Those are benefits that we get to partake of. We just went to a funeral on Saturday. A benefit of my salvation, a benefit of Sarah's salvation, is confident, knowing we'll see each other again. There's peace with that. I thank God for that. There's a whole world out there that doesn't know the goodness of God, that doesn't know there's a future or hope, that doesn't know that we have an eternity to live out, that this little tiny spot is the end of it. A lot of people think that's it. When you're over and done and you live to be 120, a big long life. That's it. You live to be 120. It's still a blip on the radar screen. It's just a little tiny compared to eternity. Yay. Amen. He's paid a tremendous price so we can walk in all of the benefits. Let's see where we're at. Let me just finish reading this here in Matthew 14. So as he stepped ashore, he saw a huge crowd, felt compassion for them, and healed their sick. He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. His heart is a heart of compassion. He has compassion on you and your situations. When evening came, the disciples approached him and said, "This place is a wilderness, and it is already late. Send the crowd away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." "They don't need to go away," Jesus said. "You give them something to eat." "But we only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes here." "Bring them to me," he said. And he commanded the crowds to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking to heaven, he blessed them and broke the loaves and gave thanks to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowd, and everyone ate and was filled, and they picked up 12 baskets full of leftover pieces, and now those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go to the other side while he was dismissed the crowd. And the dismissing the crowd, he went up to the mountain himself to pray. Compassion provided. Compassion met the need. Compassion healed the sick. Compassion was the motivation of Jesus. Compassion was the Father's heart, because Jesus only did what the Father told him and showed him to do. Amen. He changes not. It's the same heart and the same compassion. And I think we'll just leave it there. I don't know how long, if we're going to keep on this path or not. Are you enjoying it? Jesus' ministry was awesome. But if we have a picture of Jesus' ministry as that was that segment of time, and I'm not minimizing it at all. I hope you understand that. His ministry was unique and awesome, but he transferred it to us in Mark 16. The book of Acts is still being written. Amen. There may be a chapter or two that you add to it. Amen. Continuing on, the pages are still being written. Amen. Because it's the Acts of the Holy Ghost in the church. And he's still moving in the church. Amen. So we learn from Jesus' ministry. We take it. We receive from it. And then we give out to it. Amen. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you can have? What an awesome time to be alive. Because God has kept those things hidden. And now he's opening our eyes so that we can see all that's meant to be. And he's just taking the blinders off all of us. He's bringing to light so that we can walk this thing out. And the power and the awesomeness of God. John and Lee pray for people. And, I mean, they expect the power of God when they pray. They expect it. Amen. They expect God to be there. Lee will give you a hug. She expects God. Amen. She doesn't just hug, oh, how nice. She expects a transference of that anointing. Amen. What do you expect? What are you expecting? Because you got the life of God in you, power of God in you, wisdom of God in you, peace of God in you, and that can be transferred to others as well. Amen. So, Father, we just thank you for your written word. We thank you for the example. We thank you for the heart and the compassion of Jesus. And, Father, we desire your heart for people, that you would just soften us right now, Lord God. If we've hardened ourselves, if we've pulled away, if we've gotten rough around the edges because we've been hurt, we're asking right now, Lord, just heal us. Help us to see ourselves in light of your love for us. Help us to see others in light of your love for them. Help us to value people like you value. And help us to see what you want to do and move through us. Be glorified in and through each and every life represented here today. And we just thank you again for that resurrection, life-giving power that's dwelling on the inside of us. Just radiating through our bodies right now. Just flowing through every vein, through every organ, every muscle, every tendon. Restoring, refreshing, strengthening, driving sickness and disease far from us, and bringing life throughout our bodies, from the very top of our head to the sole of our feet. For the glory of God, we thank you for the provision through those stripes on Jesus' back. Therefore, be glorified in and through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.